Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of your morning show hosts, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff.
Hi, Julie. It's our favorite show of the year, isn't it? The post-Thanksgiving show.
It is. It's a great show because we are talking about all things giving, etc. So we're going to have a great morning. But weather should come first. So let's give a quick weather report and then we'll move on to our morning show topic.
Rain.
That's basically it, Phil. However, next Monday, there could be sun.
Yeah, there you have it.
That's it. High 30s, 20s, and rain and snow. All right, on to the morning show.
Well, we have a lot to talk today and a lot of people to talk to today. The Tuesday after Thanksgiving is Giving Tuesday. It has been now for about half a dozen years or so. It was an idea dreamed up by someone to look at more holistically, how do we begin and end the season of thanks with Thanksgiving? And then many people participate in Black Friday. Small town Saturdays become very popular. Cyber Monday, boy, my inbox was loaded with deals yesterday.
All day long.
But I resisted because I wanted to wait and make my dollar count on Giving Tuesday, the day we're encouraged to look at our local charities and philanthropies and nonprofit organizations and support them, support the local causes that also support our communities.
That's right. And it is an interesting concept because it started over on the East Coast and the idea was to use online resources to put people together that might not find each other, nonprofits with community supporters and also business. And it's worked because as I noticed when I looked at it online, last year was a $300 million day.
Wow.
That's big.
And of course, KRFY is a nonprofit.
Yes,
and
we are.
Community radio for North Idaho depends on support from our listeners, our members, and others in the community. We have underwriters, including nonprofit organizations who underwrite our efforts. And we've brought in our nonprofit underwriters today to talk a little bit about why they support community radio, what the support for community radio as an underwriter means for their organization, and a brief chance to tell us a little bit about them. And we have three panels coming in, so let's move right ahead to introducing this morning's panel. We have with us Don Childress from Trout Unlimited. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Thank you for giving us a chance to be here.
Cammie Murray from the Kinnexu Land Trust.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And Gabrielle Dubendorfer from the Citizens Climate Lobby. Good morning.
Hello.
So welcome back. I think all of you have been on our show at one time or another. And we really want to kick this off by also recognizing that KRFY is entering our end-of-the-year membership drive fundraising appeal. And so we've got a busy week here with shows each morning celebrating that, encouraging people to support public radio, and our annual meeting tomorrow. Julie, the brief details on that.
Sure. Well, tomorrow we are having a combination of our annual meeting, our fundraiser raffle, and a silent auction, and it all happens at the IPA, Idaho Poor Authority. Much more fun than we have done it in past years at the library, Phil.
An annual meeting ought to have beer.
That's right. So it's tomorrow, that's the 28th, and it happens from 5 until 8 p.m., and there are going to be a lot of fun things happening. Mm. Well, beer, of course, and they'll be featuring Iron Goat Brewing, who's out of Spokane, so it's a relatively local brewery. But additionally, there will be raffle items, a silent auction, music, you know, the usual. It's going to be really fun.
Are you breaking some of your world-famous cookies?
You know what? I need to tell everyone this because they're going to want to bid on it. My hubby is baking his world-famous Derby pie. It's a pecan pie like none you've ever had.
Oh,
so okay. Come, if you don't come for the beer, come for that.
The baked goods.
That's right.
That gets them every time.
That's right.
Well, we're going to talk more about that as we go through the show, but right now, sort of round robin style, anyone can chime in. Tell us a little bit about why community radio is important to you and your organizations, and maybe we'll just kick it off with Don.
You know, a lot of people would think Trout Unlimited is a community organization doesn't go together, but actually Trout Unlimited is not a fly fishing club as such, although I joined it because when I moved up here, I didn't know any fly fishermen. It was a way to get in the local community. But our mission is to conserve, enhance cold water fisheries and their environment. And our thought with public radio is that it's a way of people who don't get into the news very often to get some information out and to get some support. So we have been supporting public radio for quite a while now, and it's also a chance to let other people who are in a community voice their views that you don't usually get to hear.
And every time you're on, you see a spike in membership the next day, don't you?
A big spike. We actually have about 300 members in Trout Unlimited.
Wow.
So, so it's and most of them are not fishermen. Most of them are conservation-minded people. And so we're always looking as a way to raise funds. We have quite a few things we spend our funds on, which we'll get to a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how long is this is the local chapter, so it's the Panhandle chapter of the Trout Unlimited.
That's correct, right.
And you all have been underwriters for a couple years now.
This, right. And we've been in town for probably 30 years, 20 mm-hmm. or 30 years. And the club has just grown more and more as we've gotten more involved with Fish and Game, Avista, and Kalispell Tribe and other conservation groups.
Mm-hmm. You all work together. And, you know, I know you've been with the station KRFY longer than that, because when I moved here in 2015, that was how I found you. I heard an underwriting spot on KRFY.
Wow.
So it's been a little while.
Time does go fast, doesn't it?
It does.
Just imagine fishermen connecting over our airwaves.
Impressive.
So let's turn now a little bit to the other guests in the room this morning with us. Cammie, Kiniksu Land Trust has been an underwriter for a number of years.
Yeah. You know, we're so lucky to have community radio here, especially a station with the quality of KRFY. And as we are all nonprofits, you know, a lot of that fundraising and marketing has to happen for free, because we simply don't have budgets, for many of us, to do that any other way. And so it's really wonderful to have KRFY as a resource for nonprofits to be able to market and advertise for their events, the community calendar. And we just want to support having great public radio as a resource for our community, for people to get to hear, you know, great panels. I've been on the morning show a couple of times, and it's just really lovely to have an opportunity to speak to a larger audience than our nonprofit might otherwise have the opportunity to speak to.
So. I think you bring up a really important topic, especially to the morning show crews. We try to bring in voices that the community might not hear from on a regular basis, at least otherwise, and that includes nonprofit groups, both who are underwriters and those who aren't. And on Tuesdays, Julie and I focus in on conservation issues, outdoor recreation, lifestyle, the North Idaho stuff. And it's really a wonderful opportunity to bring in people from the community, to give them voice and to help those who are listening better connect to others in the community. And it's the participation of underwriters that allows us to do that. So if you're out there working for or with or on the board of a nonprofit organization and wondering how you can get some of that, you can find out about underwriting opportunities by contacting the station and talking to our station manager, Susie Perez. You can dial 208-265-2992, probably not right now, but later on today. Or you can stop by our offices. We're at 323 North First Avenue, right above the Ross Hall Gallery.
That's right. And for those of you who might not be potential underwriters, do bear in mind that it is the beginning of our year-end online giving drive, and would like for you to think about renewing membership or becoming members, because it will allow you to continue hearing these unique voices in the community.
Gabrielle, let's turn to you and talk about how your organization came to be involved with community radio.
Well, our local chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby is fairly new. It's only about 2 years old. And what was really helpful from KRFY is to have interviews when we have our events, and we don't have that many events, but it was also a great opportunity for us as local people to learn how to speak on the radio and be in public. So it was kind of exciting to learn that. Mm-hmm. Citizens Climate Lobby is a national organization with a national goal. So it's really hard to kind of get people interested in something, a big issue that's not necessarily having opportunities for active engagement locally. So having a local community radio makes it more local and gives mm-hmm. us a voice to actually educate people about national issues and how we can be empowered on a local level to participate on a global national level as mm-hmm. well. So that's why we decided to underwrite because of that, and also kind of as a thank you of giving us the opportunity to have our message heard mm-hmm. in the community.
I think you raise a couple of really important points. Most of the topics we talk about with local organizations, whether it's stream preservation, water quality from Trout Unlimited, or land conservation, private or public, these are really national issues. We're examining the way they impact local lives by bringing in the people locally who are working on those issues. But it's a bigger connection we all make.
And it is true that we don't always think about the national or global connection. We are focused in on our local situations, and it's great that you would bring us to focus on that, on the larger world.
Plus, we get to do a little Toastmaster training, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Don, you started down the road of some of the things that Trout Unlimited does. We have a few minutes for each organization to talk about what's coming up for them right now. What are the things you're working on, or expound a little bit more on your general mission?
Besides, besides taking care of trout and streams, we'll have quite an education component, and we every year do a trout day where we teach fly fishing and fly tying, conservation, how to release trout to the outdoor track in Clark Fork. And so we've been doing that for several years. And last year, it's actually grown. We had 2 days of it last year. We also, a couple of years ago...
Hang on, Don. What is the outdoor track? I'm not sure everyone knows what that is.
The outdoor track is there's 1 day a week in Clark Fork that they take junior, senior students, as well as grammar school students now, and give them an outdoor experience. So every Friday they have an outdoor experience. They have foresters come, Trout Unlimited comes.
Kinnexu Land Trust helps run that program
as well. Kinnexu Land Trust come. And it's actually been a very successful program. I think it's in maybe its third year now. So we've been involved with that. A couple of years ago we did a five-day or five-session seminar with veterans and taught them to fly fish and took them fly fishing. And a couple really interesting stories came out of that is one fellow that came back from Vietnam and just had a hard time relating to his family. And so he took his son out and they started fly fishing, and he reported later on that they have a really nice relationship now based on fly fishing. And another fellow who was just came back when his and kind of just was withdrawn, and it's given him a focus also. So we feel pretty good about that program. We also sponsor the fly fishing film every year, and that's a sold out event at the Panada. We have Trout and About, which is an all day group of mainly designed for kids, and we're trying to get a younger generation interested in not only fly fishing, but conservation, teach them how to release trout, how to cast. We also, just this year, have been working on a program to have a kiosk out at Trestle Creek so that people can learn about the spawning salmon that go up. There's quite a few people who go up and see our little kokanee salmon spawn, but nobody really knows kind of what their life cycle is. So we're going to have kiosks. And also, we've partnered with Master Naturalist Fishing Game in Avista on this. And we thought it would just be a little $200 kiosk. Well, getting Fishing Game in Avista involved has got this into quite a project. We're probably going to be $1 million spent out there by the time it's finished. And
oh, my.
So that's going to be something in the fall that you should go out and check out.
And finally, one more thing. You all work on research, and I know you're involved in a little project on the Priest River this summer. Can you tell us about that very briefly?
I'd be happy to tell you about that. We're actually trying to work with Fish and Game and Kalispell Tribe, and our overall goal is to be able to decrease the water temperature in the summer of Priest River so that trout can live there all year long. Now it kind of dewaters and gets warm. So we started off this summer by doing a temperature profile of the river. And this is a baseline temperature profile so that then if we can get this down, we'll know where we've started. So it's kind of interesting. We had about 10 teams of two people kayak dragging a temperature monitor and got some very interesting results from that.
More to come on that.
It sounds like a lot of work. And, of course, we're going to talk about a lot of groups doing a lot of work today. And in the news lately, we've been reading quite a bit about K'nixu Land Trust. So give us a brief update, too, where we're at with a couple projects.
Yeah, so hopefully everyone has heard now, but we are very excited to announce that we did finish all of our fundraising for our first phase of Pine Street Woods. That was over $2.1 million, and about $150,000 came from small donations from community members. So we're so grateful for everyone's support of that project. It's going to be an incredible place for our whole community to go out and play, to learn, to spend time outside. So we're hoping that we'll close that project in the first month of 2019. We do have a Forest Service grant, and getting money from the Forest Service can take a little bit of time. So we're planning when we do close the project, we'll make sure that everyone hears about it, and we'll make sure that we get people out there. But look forward to being able to play in Pine Street Woods next summer in 2019. Other than that, we've got our education programs. We work with 5 elementary schools, and we also have our own after-school educational program, which is called Wildcrafting. I've got a couple new sessions of that starting in the spring. Well, there'll be one in January and one in February, as well as our summer camp, which will take place for the first year in Pine Street Woods this year. So that's all really exciting. We've also had an incredible year for conservation. We closed more easements this year than we ever have in a single year in our history. We had 8 conservation easements closed this year. So that's been really wonderful. And then we will have some community events happening. We've got a fundraiser happening at IPA on January the 23rd. And we're also hosting an adult wildcrafting evening. So if you want to see what our kids tend to do in their after-school programs, learn to make some things with your hands. Dave's going to teach birch bark sheath making and some black walnut buttons, and there will also be snacks and beer, and that'll be at the Winter Ridge Educational Building on January 11th. And all of those details for events, what we do, how we work, can all be found at our website at www.kinixu.org.
Phil, I believe we've had Dave Kretschmar on heard about wildcrafting.
Yeah, we've explored the topic of wildcrafting. It seems very appropriate for midwinter to be doing some of the things with our hands and creating things that we can then use throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's a really cool program. Dave spent his summer in the UK this year, and he came back super inspired by Viking crafts. So our wildcrafting has had a Viking theme so far, and that's going to continue in the new year. So we've got our sort of advanced wildcrafters making bows this session, which is really cool.
And it's great that KRFY can let the community know about what's happening at K'nixu, and then we can join you for your very interesting
programs. We'll have to have you back in
programs.
At least a brief portion of a program. And we're booking up for those who are listening and our nonprofit partners who are coming in today. We're booking up right now through January. So if you have something that you want to come in and talk about, a topical theme or a timely theme, let us know so we can get that on the schedule.
That's right. The year is coming to an end.
Gabrielle, so tell us what's been happening with a lot of stuff going on in the news this week with the new reports out and all. How does that impact locally the work you're doing?
Well, it's giving us motivation to prepare for our next big event. We are much smaller than you two. We haven't even made a budget yet, because our individual members, it's basically a group of 6 or 7 who are organizing everything, and we're just donating our own money. So Giving Tuesday is a great idea. We're actually getting a budget together. But it's really enlightening or enheartening to hear what all is happening on a local level. But our focus, like I said, is really on the global level, and the climate science reports have been really increasing our motivation to educate more about a policy that can actually address climate change. Mm-hmm. And for me, the reason why I got into that is because it creates hope. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and I see how people are impacted by smoke and by depression from the fires and the smoke. So we're having a big event in January 16th at 6 o'clock at the high school auditorium, where Dr. Steve Gahn is coming back again. He was here last year as well. He is he's a world-renowned climate scientist and an IPCC contributor, and also a fellow of the Pacific Northwest Natural Laboratory, just retired, and is coming back to give a big presentation about the misconceptions about science of climate change in order to move more towards solutions and presenting the carbon fee and dividend, which is our national solution policy. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's a wonderful wrap-up, and we're running a little short on time. We have a couple more panels of people coming in. But Gabrielle raised a really good point, kind of obliquely. Giving shouldn't be just restricted to Tuesday. If you have trichophobia, fear of Tuesdays, fear not. We're here all week. And organizations throughout the year depend on those who can give. And although Giving Tuesday is conceived of and designed as an online antidote to Cyber Monday, Black Friday, you can do the old-fashioned way. You can come down to the station and leave us a check. You can send a check to P.O. Box 2465, made out to KRFY. That's Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864. You can go to our website at krfy.org and donate through the donate button. It's secure and online. And if our panelists today would like to give their contact details, I think this would be a very good time.
All right.
Our the Citizens Climate Lobby contact is cclsandpoint.org or cclsandpoint@gmail.com.
Very good. And Cammie Kiniksu.
So you can donate on our website. That's kiniksu.org, K-A-N-I-K-S-U. You can drop by our office. We're at 1215 Michigan, Suite A. That's just about two blocks from the high school. And you can send us a check in the mail either to 1215 Michigan Suite A or also to P.O. Box 2123 in Sandpoint. And we're happy to take checks, cash, your firstborn, we'll take all of it. Thanks.
And, you know, I would say dropping in with a check might be easier than trying to spell Kiniksu and find it online.
Absolutely.
So, and Don, what is the contact
and
info?
Trout Unlimited. Our big fundraiser is every other year we have a dinner fundraiser, and it's really a lot of fun, and everybody should attend that. Absent of that, in the other part of the year, we do have Panhandle TU on the internet, so you can go right to there.
All right. Google Panhandle Trout Unlimited, and you'll be able to find a way to contribute.
Correct.
Well, Don, right. Cammie, Gabrielle, thank you all for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. I want to thank you all.
Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Short song break, and then we're going to have a new group of panelists here on our Tuesday Giving Day and our launching of the End of Year Appeal through KRFY. Well, I think it's apropos, Phil. Let's hear the Goo Goo Dolls with Give a Little Bit. Have thought about it as a Supertramp song, but we're so cool here, we don't play the songs by the original artist, do we, Phil?
No, and I was hoping their cover version of it would be Give a Lot Bit.
Very good.
Because it is Giving Tuesday. We're here to remind everybody to give to the radio station on Giving Tuesday and with our end of the year fundraising drive, but also we're featuring today our nonprofit underwriters who have important roles in the community and an important role for community radio. And we're going to talk first a little bit about how community radio benefits them as underwriters and how as underwriters they benefit community radio. And then we'll delve into a little bit more about the particular nonprofit. It's a great opportunity for those who are listening, maybe for the first time, to learn a little bit about some of the folks who support us and support the community. And so let's introduce our two guests this panel. We have with us Dinah Wall, Queen of the Festival of Sandpoint.
Wow, I've been promoted.
I think you were just the princess before.
Molly told me to introduce you that way.
That's awesome.
And Britta Miley, Assistant Executive Director for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness.
Good morning.
Good morning, Britta.
Good morning. And community radio, tell us about why your organizations. This is kind of round robin, but with two of you, we can bounce back and forth.
Well, yeah, I think community radio is at the heart of any vital small town, especially a community. I think it connects like-minded people who care deeply about a variety of different things that make a community work and bring us all together. And so that's why we support community radio. And it's also just a real symbiotic relationship because you guys have some awesome music playing here, and we like to think that people who love music listen to KRFY, and that people who love music also want to hear about the festival. It's a great way to get the word out.
It is sort of a match made in heaven, mm-hmm. the festival and KRFY. Yeah. We do love music, and we love local music. We love original music.
Yeah, I think one of the things I treasure most about KRFY are particularly Jim Healy downloading almost anything that comes into him from any source of music, and our library grows. And
he is an amazing catalog of music. Yeah. Yes.
DVDs, CDs, on tape, MP3 files, we like to think, we like to believe that our music library reflects quite a wide array of things that you won't hear otherwise on the radio. And that includes local artists. It includes folks who are coming to the festival who might be those up-and-comer acts that you have frequently.
Indeed, indeed.
And we can get them on the air and have people listen to them.
That's right. Dino, do you get ideas from us for festival possibilities?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes I'm listening to Otto's eclectic mix because we're all about eclectic too. And I think, who is this? And I'll get my little Shazam out and I find out.
Shazam is so great.
I know. It's an amazing program.
I just come in and look at the station log.
There you go.
Britta, tell us a little bit about the Friends and why they support community radio.
You know, community radio, like Dino said, is all about community, and the Friends of Scotch and Peaks Wilderness are all about building community as well, specifically around the issue we care about. But in general, we really want to be a part of the community here in Bonner County, and we feel like we are. We've got people that are part of our organization that have been here for multi-generations, and we just really believe in the idea of supporting an organization that supports the community through great music and information. We also share a wall with KRFY. And so they're really good neighbors. And so, you know, it's a little neighborly also.
Mostly, unless we're playing our tunes too loud.
Yeah, there's one or two DJs who really like to crank it and rock out.
That's right. Yeah. But when I think of Friends of Scotchman Peak, I think of your community involvement in terms of working toward a strong conservation that will support our tourism industry. I appreciate that. And then I also appreciate your work with children.
Thanks, Julie. Yeah, we definitely believe that keeping the Scotchman's Wild will help the tourism industry here, which is already amazing. It will just add a little icing. And we love our programs getting kids outdoors. We're just in the process of planning our winter tracks this winter, where we'll get area students outdoors, take them out to Round Lake.
Yay.
And we always have groups on who are talking about the next project or program, and oftentimes they can use their space on the radio for promoting their volunteer needs, getting reactions from that. And I think we joke occasionally, but I think we really do come back with some folks saying, yeah, there's a bump in donations, there's a bump in volunteer signups, participation signups, and we'd like to think that there's a central role for communicating that to the community that we play.
Well, and your listeners are, I mean, KRFY, I think the audience, the listeners are the type of people that you want involved in your organization, mm-hmm. people who really care about the community and mm-hmm. are really connected. And I think that we're all connected. I mean, we were just talking earlier before we came on, Britta and I, about how the festival and Scotchman's Peak, you know, we like to help other organizations and then they also promote us. And, you know, it's like we all kind of work together. We all help each other out.
A lot of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because it is our year-end giving appeal and we're hoping for new members and renewing members, it's a nice opportunity to talk about why people would want to listen to us. And, you know, it's one thing to go on the website for a nonprofit organization like the Festival at Sandpoint or Friends of Scotchman Peak, but it's another thing to hear the folks that work there and hear their passion and hear why they are working at these nonprofits. It's a different experience when you listen to it at KRFY.
And you give us that opportunity, like in the case of the festival, the thing that everybody sees is the big concert series that happens every August. But I am super passionate about our educational mission. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I come on here during the course of the year and I talk about, you know, our fifth grade outreach program or our youth strings orchestra or our scholarship programs, you know, our summer music camp. Those kind of things in that, and just like the Scotchman's Peak, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't know about, you know, the educational programs, and that's really cool to hear that that goes on a year-round basis, even in the snow.
Yeah, we are about more than just advocacy, and I definitely agree with Phil. This is a wonderful way to talk to the people that we want to hear from and that we would love to have volunteer from us because we are all passionate about our area.
It's something we have in common, education. Friends of Scotchman, KRFY, one of our prongs, one of our parts of our mission is education, and it mm-hmm. is, I didn't know it, but it is for you too, Dino, mm-hmm. with the festival.
Very much so.
And we really, on the morning show, have the opportunity to hear from and showcase voices for our community from people that, stories from people that you might not hear otherwise. And I think one of the perhaps underutilized aspects of that are our podcasts. Mm. We do record every or almost every morning show, and, and those are available online at KRFY.org by clicking on the podcast tab. And you can look back through the titles, and boy, there's some really interesting topics, not just the Tuesday morning show, but between the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning show, you could spend a lot of time on the podcast.
That's right. And after you've reviewed some of the podcasts that you can view, you can look over and, oh, there's a donate tab. Mm-hmm. You could certainly do that between now and the end of the year. We hope that you will if you're either a new considering becoming a new member or a repeating member. So this is our time of the year where we do ask you to think about us and consider making a year-end contribution.
So we have a few minutes to talk a little bit about what's happening now at the festival and the Friends and what's coming up in the next few months, things that you want to talk about on the air and make sure people know about.
Well, for the festival, probably the most urgent thing I need to say is that Friday is the last day to get your season pass at the lowest possible price. And that's one of the parts of our mission is making music accessible, making these performances accessible. And when you think about, you know, getting all eight nights of music for that amount of money, it's that's we feel like that's a big thing we do for the community. And so if we and last year we sold them all out at that price. So there may not be any left after. After Friday. I hope not. But anyway, so we do urge people to do that. But we also are always trying to raise money, too. I mean, every year we need to raise about $350,000 to make this thing happen on top of what comes in ticket sales. And we do that in a number of different ways. People can give in you know, from, you know, $25 up. People can be sponsors if they have a business. And we also have a big wine fest event on April 27th. Out at the fairgrounds, so it's not too soon to put that on your calendar as well.
It's not that far away. A nice kind of end of winter.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find it really amazing that people have so much trust in the festival that they're willing to just plunk down their dollars. We don't know who's going to be at the festival
it's
yet.
It's funny. I came from Telluride and I worked for the film festival there, and I stole that idea from that because the people come to Telluride every year for the film festival. They have no idea who's going to be there, no idea what movies they'll see or what stars they might run into on the street or whatever. And during the opening ceremony or opening party, we would just take the programs and kind of spill them out on the tables and people would grab them. Oh my gosh, you know, that's who's here. And so the first year that I rolled that out, I think that the board thought I was a little crazy, but and only 100 people did trust me. But then it picked up steam over the years. And now we usually sell them all out because people do trust us. And I can tell you that I've already booked about half of the season and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a good deal. Trust me.
Well, Britta, tell us what's coming up for the Friends.
Like I talked about before, we have our Winter Tracks program coming up, which is really exciting. So it's a program where we get students from Bonner County and Sanders and Lincoln counties over in Montana, as well as some kids from Spokane even, outside in the winter. And so they're learning about nature in nature and get them out of the classroom and have some fun and just show them kind of the magic of our area during the winter. A lot of the kids don't really have a chance to do that. And so it's really fun. We have some amazing volunteers that help teach modules to to the students. They talk about trees and mammals. We have this really cool trunk where they can touch and feel. And it's just a really fun program.
And some hot dogs, too, aren't there?
Sometimes. And a little after work.
And do you buy a lot of hand warmers? Because that can make all the difference in the world.
You know, sometimes we do. We do send notes home for parents to be like, hey, this is what your kids should probably wear outdoors.
And there are fires.
There are fires, and we do hot chocolate, and it's a really fun day.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it is. So we're gearing up for that. So if that's something that people sound like they'd be interested in helping out with, or if you are a teacher and would like to get involved, you can email me at Britta, B-R-I-T-T-A, @scotchmanpeaks.org. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you.
Very good.
And Dino, before we run out of time, make sure one last time people know how to get a hold of the festival.
Oh, exactly. Yes, it's Festival at Sandpoint, all spelled out, festivalatsandpoint.com. And that is a place where you can purchase season passes, and you can also donate if you're feeling generous on this Giving Tuesday. And you can also always call us at 208-265-4554, or our office is a lot of fun to visit. We are located at 525 Pine Street, right across from Melody Muffler.
All right. And Britta, your contact info one more time.
It's Britta, B-R-I-T-T-A, at scotchmanpeaks.org. Our phone number is 208-265-4236. And we also have our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, Scotchman singular, peaks plural. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and we're trying to build a following on Twitter very slowly. So if you do Twitter, follow us. We're at Mr. Scotchman.
All right.
Well, we want to thank you both for coming in this morning and part of our nonprofit showcase to kick off Giving Tuesday and remind folks the role that Care of Why plays in the community and the role that our underwriters play in both bringing good radio to our community, but also bringing their efforts to light. And without them, we wouldn't have much subject matter, would we, Julie?
No, we wouldn't, Phil. I was just going to say that they really, we appreciate you all as underwriters, but you really contribute content to our morning show, and we appreciate having you for that. And I know that the community does as well.
Oh, well, thanks for doing what you do.
You bet.
Thanks, guys.
And if you'd like for us to be able to continue doing that and would like to donate, become a member, or renew your membership, know that you can go to krfy.org, or you can also call us at 208-265. Phil, let's take a song break.
Sounds good.
All right. And we have we really have the artist picked for this morning. It was just Goo Goo Dolls, and now kind of a perfect song for this morning, Phil. That was Wall of Voodoo with Mexican Radio.
Radio, radio.
That's right. And we are community radio here at KRFY, and we're kicking off a few things this morning, Giving Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and we're also kicking off our end of year giving appeal here at the station.
And it's a great day because of Giving Tuesday to remind folks that part of Care of Why's mission as a nonprofit is to give voice to other nonprofits in the community. And in return, other nonprofits support community radio. We have amongst the various underwriters of the station's efforts a number of nonprofits. And we're bringing in most of them today to feature them, give them a little bit of time to talk about their mission, but also to talk about why community radio is important for their efforts and, you know, why they support that. And so we'll go. We have two panelists with us for our final panel of the hour. From the Panada Theater, we have Patricia Walker. And from the Lake Pondre Waterkeepers, the new waterkeeper, Chantilly Higby. So welcome to the morning show, Patricia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome, Chantilly.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
So why don't we kick off a little bit. Patricia, you and the Panada have been supporters of KRFY for some time now. Tell us about that.
You know, it's a great community partnership. I remember when I moved up here, I was stunned that the radio station like this existed right here across the street from the Panada. And we've been supporting each other since I arrived. That was a little over 4 years ago. And I'm always amazed at the voice that you give all of the nonprofits and all of our causes, and not just a local voice, but a national voice. And so it's been a huge, huge boost for us to be able to come in and share what's happening. And you know, in this world of fake radio, it's nice to have the real radio right here where you get to hear exactly what's happening and exactly what the issues are and what's important. And we are all interconnected. The same $20 goes round and round, Susie was just saying, in our community. And that's so true. And where we spend our money is where our values are.
That's right.
So community radio is something we value as well as the Panada, and we rely on people to continue that legacy.
And we value you too. And Dino Wall was here a moment ago talking about the festival at Sandpoint, and I feel a lot the same about the Panada, because music comes to the Panada, and we try and talk to the artists before they come to you live, and it just seems like a very wonderful mutual relationship.
Absolutely. And you know, we are there's 52 weekends in a year, and we're trying to capitalize on each one to keep our gem afloat over there, and your giving a voice to what's happening is crucial to our success. So,
and the Panada features a number of musicians throughout the year that, again, often
absolutely,
we can profile on the show through special interviews or simply playing their recordings.
That's right. And, you know, oftentimes we get somebody who tours nationally
and they'll get a chance to come in here and play a few tunes. And we've had people come to the concert just because of that. Or we, you know, have live theater and the movies, and there are different things that come up that you give us an opportunity to showcase that we would not ordinarily get. So,
how wonderful. So Chantelle, you're new Lake Pondere waterkeeper. Welcome to the community. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And,
with your long history of time at the Lake Pondere Waterkeepers, tell us about the involvement that the organization has with Care of Wine.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. So I joined the waterkeeper team October 8th. So, right, like you said, I haven't been there that long, but so far I've already seen definitely the presence that CareFY has in the community and how you support other nonprofits. And the unique content that you provide is truly valuable to the community. And it is unique in that it's not, you know, just a regurgitation of popular culture. It is truly wonderful that, you know, you have an opportunity to provide content like to specifically align with missions of other nonprofits. And I'm thinking specifically right now of your Water is Life program, the four-part series that you did this fall in August and September, I believe, where you brought on a number of really experts in the field of water science and water quality to talk about big issues, you know, globally and locally. You know, specifically, I think you had Shannon Williamson, our executive director, on to talk about Lake Pondere Waterkeeper and the work that we do to protect the lake. And, you know, that's really, it's nice to have a vessel like this to be able to talk about, you know, unique problems within this community and issues that we can all address together. So we really truly thank you for those opportunities.
That was a wonderful series put together by our station manager and other morning show host, Susie Prez and Jean Girth.
That's right.
It was back in September and October, and if you missed any or all of it, you can again go to our podcast page and download and listen to it. It was, I think, a great example of what community radio can truly aspire to be.
It's true, and in a community like this where water is so much a part of our appeal, that was a great program.
And you know why else water is important? Beer.
That is true.
And tell us about the special importance of that this week, Julie.
Why do I always have to talk about the beer? Oh, I think we know.
Because you're holding the poster.
That's right. Anyway, I do hope that everyone listening now will be able to join us tomorrow, Wednesday, November 28th, from 5 until 8 p.m. And two things will be happening. It will be, number one, KRFY's annual meeting, and there will be an annual report available if you're interested in what's happening with us here at the station. But additionally, it's our kickoff of our year-end fund drive, year-end giving appeal. And that means that we will be having music, we'll be having beers featuring Iron Goat Brewing, we'll also be having a raffle, and we'll be having the silent auction items.
It should be a whole lot of fun.
Should be. Should be great.
Come on down, support community radio, and that's a great way to do it, one beer at a time. Or you can come down to our station and check us out, talk to Susie about becoming an underwriter, or if you're not a member, you can join or renew your membership. We're at 323 North First Avenue in Sandpoint, above the Ross Hall Gallery. You can also make a secure online donation through PayPal on this Giving Tuesday at krfy.org.
That's right. And we've left out one other thing that people might think about, Phil. They can come on down to the IPA and meet us all, and they might want to decide to become volunteers.
They might. In fact, we've got DJ training coming up in January.
That's right. We're a fun group, and it's a really interesting organization. Yeah. You'll learn so much.
Let's hear a little bit more before we close from both of our guests about the work that they do in the community and really what's happening now, what's coming up in the next month or two or three this season. Let's kick it off with the Panda. We're entering the holiday season, always a busy time.
So right now we have a holiday movie happening, the Nutcracker, the brand new release of the Nutcracker. And then this week we have the actual Nutcracker Ballet. So I have a long history of that. You know, I got into the performing arts through the Eugene Ballet Nutcracker when I was back in the day when my children were young. So it's fun for me to host that at the Panada, and that's another nonprofit organization. The you know, POAC brings the arts to our community, so we need the community to turn out and support that. We have some great films coming up, Wildlife, Welcome to Manwaring. We have Vigo's movie coming in January, Green Book, and we're trying to get a couple of the possible Oscar-nominated movies, A Star Is Born and a couple others squeezed in. But, you know, we also have a lot of great community events, some ski movies. We have one ski movie coming up, and those are how we pay the power bill. So, you know, that's crucial to us, and we appreciate your support in helping us give a voice to those things. And really, truly, it in some point, we're so blessed to have so much talent, and you showcase talent, and then, you know, helping support the Panada helps us bring that talent. We can't exist without each other. So I can't keep the doors open without your support, and vice versa. So let's all support the community we live in.
There's always something happening at the Panada.
And nicely put, we really do need each other.
Yep. Yes, it's crucial.
Chantilly, tell us what's coming up for the Waterkeepers.
Yeah, so Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeepers' mission is to, of course, keep protect the Lake Pend'Oreille and associated waterways, to keep them swimmable, fishable, and drinkable now and for future generations. And we do that work primarily with our water quality monitoring program, where we have a team of trained citizen science volunteers going out monthly from June through October every single year to understand the lake and to just kind of keep an eye on potential threats and characterize it and, you know, keep an eye on it. So what we'd like to do is also add a complementary program where we would monitor stormwater coming off of roadways. And so for Giving Tuesday, we're really looking for to reach a $2,000 goal to fund that program.
Okay. And website one last time, and then we're going to wrap it up, guys.
Yeah, so we're on lakepend'oreillewaterkeeper.org, and we're also on Facebook and Instagram. Our tag is Waterkeeper LPO.
Waterkeeper LPO. That's nice to know. And you guys recruit volunteers?
We do recruit volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers.
All right. Well, thank you, Chantilly Higbee from Waterkeepers, and Patricia Walker from the Panada. Thank you for joining us this
thank
morning.
Thank you for making our Giving Tuesday final.
Thank you for helping.
Well, we're going to wrap up our hour, Phil. It's gone by quickly.
It's gone by very, very quickly, but that's when we have so many exciting things going on. And throughout the year, we'll continue to feature these and other nonprofits. So tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for the morning show.
That's right. More to come this week talking about year-end online giving appeal. And I hope you'll consider going online and contributing or renewing your membership with KRFY. And we're going out with one more.